Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready to go, I am too. Let's get started. Our first article is entitled, Queen Creek Aquatic Center Introduces, quote, Sunset Swim, end quote. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune June 11th, 2026, and no author is listed. Over the summer, residents can watch the sunset as they cool off at the Aquatic Center. Two Saturdays a month in June and July, the Aquatic Center will have extended hours for all pool amenities, including the lazy river, water slides, and diving boards. Sunset Swim will run from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday, June 13th and 27th, and July 11th and 18th. At the Queen Creek Recreation and Aquatic Center, 22343 East Ryan Road. Day passes and memberships are available to Queen Creek residents. Non-residents may only purchase a day pass when accompanied by a Queen Creek resident. Queen Creek residents may bring up to two non-resident guests with them. To learn more about memberships and day passes, go to tinyurl.com/ B as in boy, D as in dog, ZIPT6N. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Padilla Wants More Town Focus on Roads. This was written by Jim Ficus, Tribune contributor, and posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, June 20th, 2026. This is the fifth in a series of weekly profiles on candidates for Queen Creek Town Council in the July 21st primary election. Travis Padilla is an outspoken advocate for fiscal responsibility and limited government. That doesn't mean no government, emphasizes Padilla, who is running for his second four-year Queen Creek Town Council term. It's super important that we keep government little, said the entrepreneur and investor. We see governments getting out of control, encroaching on our liberties and tax dollars. I do support the proper role of government, getting involved in areas that we can't do ourselves. Take public safety. We can't go out and buy a police department. He said proper roles for government include infrastructure, roads, and public safety. Parks are one area where Padilla said, providing a collective area for a community makes sense, but not luxury parks. That is beyond what government should do and gets in the way of the private sector. Take the town's Horseshoe Park, for example, he noted. It regularly runs a deficit, and Padilla says his family regularly contributes to reduce some of that shortfall. A hobby shouldn't be required to be supported by all residents, he said. Padilla, who voted against the Queen Creek budget his first 2 years on the council, frequently points to the Parks and Recreation Department's $20 million annual budget, which does not include new park development. Queen Creek needs to focus more on road improvements and less on parks development along with its excess spending, Padilla said. Our residents clearly tell us in each year's annual survey that road infrastructure and traffic are the number one concern, and I agree, we need to listen to them. One of the 17-year Queen Creek residents' goals, if reelected, is to, quote, continue to create a safe and prosperous community for families to thrive, end quote. He and his wife have five children and live near Chandler Heights and Hawes Roads. Queen Creek appropriately and smartly used governmental power in one of its biggest decisions in recent memory, acquiring a 110-year water supply mainly from a $465 million project to deliver water from the Harquahala Basin, 80 miles northwest of the town, Padilla said. We have secured the most advanced water policy in the state and perhaps in the country, in my opinion, he said. We set a new standard on how to obtain water and control future of our own water destiny. It is about $500 million, but will wind up being the cheapest water. I really believe in the value. Getting there first was so important. There is a legacy of people involved. I am proud to be part of it. Travis Padilla's 3 goals if reelected: continue to create a safe and prosperous community for families to thrive, improve the roads and maintain fiscal responsibility with taxpayer money, ensure that our growth is managed and public safety is maintained. Meet the candidates. This 5-week series is profiling the candidates for the Queen Creek Town Council. 3 incumbents and 2 challengers are vying for the 3 open council seats. The series lineup is May 17th, Benjamin Harrison, challenger. May 24th, Nick Massey, challenger. May 31st, Brian McClure, incumbent. June 7th, Don Oliphant, incumbent. June 14th, Travis Padilla, incumbent. The positions are for 4 years and pay $26,278 annually. If no 3 council candidates receive the necessary votes in the July 21st primary election, there will be a runoff in the general election November 3rd. Mayor Julia Wheatley is running unopposed and will appear on the November 3rd ballot. Key election dates are June 22nd, deadline to register to vote. June 25th, early voting begins. July 21st, primary election. August 5th, deadline to remove political signs if candidate is not advancing to the November 3rd general election. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Queen Creek Voters Finally Get Their Say on Candidates. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, written by Jim Fickus, Tribune contributor, and posted on June 21, 2026. Voters will finally get to weigh in on candidates for the 3 Queen Creek Town Council seats and a slew of primary election hopefuls for state offices and Congress as early ballots hit mailboxes later this week. The town's election season heats up this week with 3 key dates. Monday, June 22nd is the last day to register to vote in the July 21st primary. Tuesday, June 23rd is the Queen Creek Town Council Forum. Wednesday, June 24th is when ballots are scheduled to be mailed and early voting begins. Voters have until July 10th to request an early ballot. And if they are registered as independents, they must request a ballot. Details on registering to vote and ordering an early ballot are at elections.maricopa.gov for voters in Maricopa County and at pinal.gov/794/pinal-votes for those living in Pinal County. Tuesday night's forum will give Queen Creek residents an opportunity to see in person the council candidates whose images are gracing ubiquitous campaign signs that seem to be on every corner around town. The forum is scheduled for 5 to 7 p.m. June 23rd in the Zane Gray Room of the Queen Creek Library. The candidates will discuss issues facing the community, share their priorities, and answer questions in a moderated format, according to event organizers. Residents planning to attend are asked to register at queenecreekchamber.com/events/queen-creek-town-council-forum/. 3 council members, Brian McClure, Don Oliphant, and Travis Padilla, are incumbents. They are joined on the ballot by challengers Benjamin Harrison and Nick Massey. Oliphant is seeking her 5th 4-year term, while McClure and Padilla were first elected in 2022. While the primary election could resolve some or all of the council races, seats not filled by candidates who meet the required threshold for votes would then be on the November ballot. That ballot also will include candidates for school boards who do not face a primary election. July 6th is the final date for school board candidates to file their ballot petitions. Council members serve 4-year terms and are paid $26,278 annually. The five candidates were profiled in the Queen Creek Tribune from May 17th through June 14th, and the stories can be found at queencreektribune.com. The endorsement season has also started. One of the first came from the Queen Creek Firefighters PAC, which recently sent out a mailer backing the incumbents McClure, Oliphant, and Padilla, as well as Mayor Julia Wheatley. Wheatley is running unopposed for her second four-year term and will appear on the November 3rd general election ballot. Some of the major primary contests involve Republican races, though at a legislative level, no real contests will occur until November. In Legislative District 15, for example, Republican incumbents Senator Jake Hoffman and Representatives Neil Carter and Michael Way have no opposition. Hoffman will face a November challenge from Democrat Jamie Acala. One of the more heated area races involves Congressional District 5, where Daniel Keenan and former Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb are running for the Republican nomination in an allegation-filled race, while three political newcomers, Brian Huwalde, Chris Hames, and Rebecca Lee, are vying for the Democratic nod. Current District 5 U.S. Representatives Andy Biggs is running against fellow U.S. House member David Schweikert to represent the Republicans in the Arizona gubernatorial race. The winner will face incumbent Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs, who has no primary opponent. While the Biggs-Schweikert contest may be considered the marquee matchup, two other Republicans, Scott Neely and Kent Michelli, also are vying for the GOP, while No Labels Party features a matchup between Terry Ann Houlihan and Hugh Lytle. Additionally, Green Party candidate Risa Lombardo has no challenger in her party. Incumbent Tom Horn is fighting to survive a challenge from termed-out State Treasurer Kimberly Yee for the State Superintendent of Public Instruction in the Republican primary. Horn is battling for a second term amid allegations that his State Department of Education was lax in overseeing expenditures by empowerment scholarship accounts or school vouchers, recipients that included thousands of dollars on items ranging from expensive watches to luxury trips. A rare Democratic primary battle also is on the ballot for Superintendent of Public Instruction, where Teresa Leyba Ruiz is vying for the nomination with Brett Newby. Another state office featuring a GOP battle involves Secretary of State, where State Representative Alexander Kolodin and Gina Swuda are fighting to take on unopposed incumbent Democrat Adrian Fontes. Yet another hotly contested Republican contest pits Senate President Warren Peterson against Rodney Glassman in the race for the Attorney General nomination, fighting for a chance to take on unopposed incumbent Democrat Chris Mays. That race has been particularly nasty, with Glassman and Peterson accusing each other of having little to no experience in the courtroom. And for Yee's job, Republicans Elijah Norton and Catherine Haley are fighting to take on Democratic hopeful Nick Mansour this fall. Even the Corporation Commission has a contested Republican contest where Ralph Heap is trying to unseat either of the two Republican incumbents, Kevin Thompson and Nicholas Myers. The deadline to mail in ballots is July 14th. There are places to drop off mail ballots or vote in person at three Queen Creek locations. They are from June 24th through Election Day, the Communiversity 21740 South Ellsworth Road. From July 20th to 21st, Queen Creek Library 21802 South Ellsworth Road. And on Election Day, you can vote at Queen Creek Unified District Offices, 20217 East Chandler Heights Boulevard. For hours, see elections.maricopa.gov. End of story. You were listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer broadcaster. Continuing on, our next article is entitled, Mark Lamb Scandal Tests Trump's Reluctance to Rescind Endorsements. This was initially posted by Cronkite News Vandana Ravikumar, and then picked up by the Queen Creek Tribune, May 22nd, 2026. This was written by Emma Whitney with Cronkite News. From Washington, former Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb is continuing to campaign for Congress on a pro-MAGA platform with President Donald Trump's seal of approval. But Trump's endorsement, calling Lamb a, quote, MAGA warrior, end quote, who, quote, will never let you down, end quote, is from last November, long before Lamb became embroiled in scandal. The text messages that show sexual impropriety, threats against an ex-lover, and use of racist language stand in contrast to the public image Lamb has projected as a man of faith and traditional values. Many voters do feel let down, according to Lamb's detractors, and some Republicans have distanced themselves. So far, Trump has not. He only rarely abandons candidates. When he does, it's almost always over perceived disloyalty rather than scandal, though he did rescind an endorsement Wednesday in Oklahoma after a congressional candidate who had founded Pastors for Trump was caught up in a texting scandal. It's rare that he totally rescinds an endorsement, said Matthew Klein, an analyst at the nonpartisan Cook Political Report. He noted Lamb was an outspoken supporter of Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election, quote, a very visceral issue for Donald Trump, end quote. Given that Lamb has also been a strong front runner, Klein added, quote, I have a hard time believing that he would withdraw his support, end quote. Scrutiny on Lamb increased Wednesday after Valley Media published an interview with friend and former employee Matt Hilsebeck, describing Lamb's active sex life outside of marriage. Lamb is seeking the House seat that Representative Andy Biggs, Republican Gilbert, is giving up to run for governor. Opponent Daniel Keenan is running a television ad that calls him, quote, a disgrace, an embarrassment, and unfit for office, end quote. So far, Lamb has resisted calls to explain or apologize. On June 3rd, he reposted Trump's November endorsement with no indication it was months old or predated the scandal. The president's political operation has expressed no objection, at least not publicly, though Trump has yet to affirm the endorsement either. In general, Trump has a long record of looking the other way when loyalists are accused of misconduct. Early in his second term, Trump stood by Pete Hegseth after revelations that his pick to lead the Pentagon had once paid a woman $50,000 to settle allegations of sexual assault. In Texas, Trump-backed Attorney General Ken Paxton defeated Senator John Cornyn in the GOP primary runoff May 26th. Cornyn was most loyal to Trump, but not nearly as much of a MAGA warrior. Paxton had filed one of the lawsuits in 2020 trying to overturn the election and spoke at the January 6th, 2021 rally before Trump supporters stormed the Capitol. He has also been embroiled in more scandals than most. His wife is divorcing him on grounds of adultery. He survived charges for securities fraud as well as an impeachment by the GOP-controlled Texas House. Despite all that, 1 week before the primary, Trump threw his weight behind Paxton, writing on Truth Social that Paxton had, quote, gone through a lot in many cases very unfairly, but he is a fighter and knows how to win, end quote. As with Lamb, he assured voters that Paxton would, quote, never let you down, end quote. Weeks before the 2024 election, Trump resisted pleas from allies to rescind his endorsement of a North Carolina nominee for governor, Mark Robinson, after revelations he'd posted offensive comments on a porn site. In late 2017, Trump endorsed former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore in a tight U.S. Senate contest after eight women accused Moore of sexual misconduct. Some had been teens at the time of the events. The Lamb scandal has spilled into the July 21st Republican gubernatorial primary, with Representative David Schweikert of Fountain Hills chastising rival Biggs for failing to repudiate Lamb's conduct. Biggs's silence, Schweikert said in a radio interview, is, quote, bordering on immoral, end quote. Biggs, who is also endorsed by Trump, told the AZ political podcast on KTAR 92.3 FM that he is, quote, reserving judgment, end quote. In April, before Lamb's text messages surfaced, he told GOP voters at a candidate forum that Lamb would be, quote, a great member, end quote, of the House Freedom Caucus, a far-right congressional bloc. Schweikert told Cronkite News in a brief interview that while voters, quote, are remarkably forgiving, end quote, that requires contrition and candor, and Lamb hasn't shown. Quote, stand up, come clean, or leave, end quote, he said recently on KTAR News. No guarantee. Trump's endorsement is no guarantee in primaries, but Republicans crave and fear it. On Tuesday, Tulsa pastor Jackson Lawmeyer, founder of Pastors for Trump, secured a spot in Oklahoma congressional runoff, despite a Daily Mail report 2 days earlier about improper texts with a campaign aide and former Miss Oklahoma USA. On Wednesday, Trump switched his endorsement to Lawmeyer's rival. Lawmeyer dropped out within minutes. In Arizona, Trump not only endorsed Lamb, he dangled the prospect of an endorsement to another candidate to clear the field for Lamb. Jay Feely initially wanted Big Seat 2, the 5th congressional district on the east side of the valley, is a Republican stronghold. Now Feely is running for the Schweikert district, which is much more of a toss-up. In Georgia's primary on Tuesday, businessman Rick Jackson overcame Trump's endorsement of his rival, Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones. Quote, Rick Jackson came out of nowhere and dropped more than $93 million from his own personal bank account, end quote, Klein said. Quote, but Jackson himself was also very pro-Trump, end quote. The Georgia primary illustrated another Trump habit, withholding an endorsement until it's pretty clear who will win. He waited until 48 hours before Election Day to endorse Representative Mike Collins in the U.S. Senate race. Quote, there have been cases where he'll jump on the bandwagon of a candidate who already looks like they're likely to win, end quote, and, quote, then try to claim credit, end quote, said Boston College political scientist David Hopkins. Next, scandalous screenshots. The Lamb controversy centers on leaked screenshots of messages he sent around 2019 when he was still sheriff of Pinal County. The texts show him threatening to have a woman with whom he was having an affair arrested if she shared their message publicly. Other women also received messages with sexually explicit content from Lamb. He also used the N-word in conversation with a member of a border vigilante group. A former aide found some of the messages and reported them to the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. This is not the first time Lamb has been embroiled in a sexual scandal. In social media posts in June 2018, the ex-wife of one of Lamb's friends, Jillian Stannard, alleged that he had sent nude photographs of his wife to her ex, Matt Hilsebeck. Stannard insinuated the Lambs and her ex-husband had sexual relations during an overnight trip to Texas. She reported her allegations to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. LDS church officials investigated and decided not to take action against Lamb. The allegations contradict Lamb's traditional family man persona. His campaign website pledges include, quote, standing for family, for God, for freedom, end quote. He has played up his devout faith and affiliation with the LDS Church, where he served as a lay minister and Sunday school teacher. The former sheriff also has cultivated a tough cowboy-style image online, sharing photos of himself on patrol at the border. His campaign website features images of him with the president. Their relationship goes back several years. In 2020, Lamb drew national headlines when he contracted COVID-19 at a Trump rally. The Trump endorsement remains splashed across the homepage, along with other big endorsements from Turning Point USA and the House Freedom Fund. Barnes noted, Keenan has enough money to hammer Lamb over the scandal, and the ads, quote, are pretty damning, end quote. Another Arizona strategist, Democrat Stacey Pearson, agreed that the allegations have hurt. This is a community that has something even more definitive than a line in the sand. It is a hard line, and when politicians cross it, that congressional district doesn't forget, she said. If I was Mark Lamb, I would certainly be concerned, even with the Trump endorsement. End of story. This article first appeared on Cronkite News and is republished here under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 4.0 international license. Well, that wraps up our show today for the East Valley News. For Santan and Queen Creek, I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt, and encourage you to stay tuned because there are more interesting programs coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Did you know you can take Sun Sounds with you? You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Also, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Again, thank you for listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. We have more interesting programs on the way.